In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to greet you all in the feast of St. Peter and Paul. These are two of the greatest of the apostles, and the church was established in large measure throughout the known world at that time, the Roman Empire and beyond, through the work of these two men. There's a lot that we could say about both of them, but today I just want to say a few things about St. Peter. St. Peter was a simple fisherman. He was the son of Jonah, and he was from the town of Bethsaida, which in Hebrew means the house of fish, because that's where the fishermen around Galilee lived, or at least quite a few of them did. He was given the name Simon at birth, but Christ called him the Rock, or Kepha in Aramaic, or Cephas as it's put into English in most translations. And when that was translated into Greek, that's where we get the word Peter. He came to know Christ through his brother Andrew, who was the first called, as we refer to him. He was the first disciple of Christ. St. Peter had a wife and children, but when Christ asked him to leave his trade and to follow him and become a fisher of men, he immediately did so. St. Peter was the one who went out to meet Christ when he was walking on the water. And when we look at that gospel, we talk a lot about how Peter was lacking in faith, and that's why he began to sink, because he began to look at the wind and the waves rather than to keep his eye on Christ. But at the same time that we note his failings, we should also note that he was the only one that got out there and tried. And we see that throughout the Gospels, that he was the one that was the leader. He was the man of action. He also was the first, as we heard in the Gospel reading, to confess that Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was prepared to fight for Christ, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to arrest Christ, he got out that sword and was fighting with the soldiers and lopped off the ear of one of the soldiers. So he was prepared to fight for Christ, but he wasn't prepared to suffer just yet, because when Christ told him to put his sword back into his sheath and he was facing the prospect of being arrested, that was something that really he wasn't really prepared to do. And so he later denied Christ three times. The difference between St. Peter and Judas was not that one sinned badly and was irredeemable and the other one sinned lightly. They both sinned against Christ, and in a sense, both of them betrayed him. But the difference was is that St. Peter knew how to repent. He had a godly sorrow, and he also had faith that God would be merciful to him, whereas Judas had regret, but he didn't have faith. We're told by St. Paul and also by St. Luke that of the 11 disciples, St. Peter was the first to see the risen Christ. Of course, the myrrh-bearing women were the very first to see the risen Christ, but of the 11 apostles, aside from Judas, of course, by that time was dead, he was the first. And on the shore of Galilee, we read in the Gospel of John how Christ expressed his forgiveness to St. Peter and asked him three times, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And each time St. Peter affirmed that yes, he did. And the third time he was hurt because Christ asked him the third time, but each time Christ said, "Feed my sheep." And so Christ allowed him to affirm his love for Christ three times to make up for the three times that he had denied him. And then he foretold the manner of his death. He said, "When you're old, you're going to have someone gird you and take you to where you don't want to go." And this was a reference to the fact that he would die by execution. He was not a formally educated man, unlike the Apostle Paul. But he was taught by Christ for 3 years, and he received his diploma on the day of Pentecost. He received power from on high, and he was able to work miracles, to heal the sick, to heal the lame, and to even raise the dead. And so his actions spoke more eloquently than his words. If you look at the New Testament, you might think that his impact on the New Testament is very minor, just looking at who wrote what, because you see that he only wrote two epistles, whereas St. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, 14 epistles. But in addition to those two epistles, tradition tells us that the Gospel of Mark was written by St. Mark, his disciple, the disciple of St. Peter, who based his gospel largely on the recollections of St. Peter. And while the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, it's also a fast-moving Gospel with fewer words and lots of actions, a lot like St. Peter himself. And in all four of the Gospels, as well as in the book of Acts, we see what a crucial role St. Peter played in salvation history. St. Peter went on to travel much of the world, bringing people to Christ and establishing new churches. According to tradition, he's the founder of the church at Antioch, and also Alexandria through his disciple Mark, and the Church of Rome. Not to say that there weren't Christians in Rome before he got there, but in a certain sense, tradition says he established that church. He visited Rome on three occasions. The third time that he was there, that was when Nero began the persecution of the church. And the Christians that were there begged and pleaded with tears that St. Peter would hide himself and then leave. And he was, at first, inclined not to do that. He refused, but they persisted in their pleas, and so eventually he agreed to depart Rome. He spent the night in prayer and then left the city. And as he was on the road leaving Rome, he had a vision of Christ. Christ was headed in the other direction, towards Rome. St. Peter bowed low, and he said, "Where are you going, Lord?" And Christ answered him and said, "I'm going to Rome to be crucified again." And then he vanished. And St. Peter got the message. He understood that Christ was suffering with his church, and that he, as the shepherd of the flock, needed to be there. So he turned around, and he went back, and he returned to his flock. He was arrested, and he was condemned to crucifixion. And when they began to crucify him, he asked them to crucify him upside down because he said, "I'm not worthy to die in the manner that my Lord died." And so they did so, and after suffering the most painful of deaths, he reposed a faithful witness to Christ. What St. Peter's life tells us is that if God can take a simple fisherman and turn the world upside down, he can use us too. If we will step out in faith, as St. Peter so often did, he can use us. And if we fail, as St. Peter often did, we should understand that God is merciful and look to Christ for forgiveness and restoration. And then once again, get to the work that God has set out for us to do. Amen.